William Morrow and Harper Audio present Timeless, a Drizzt novel by R.A. Salvatore, performed by Victor Pavine. Prologue. The Year of Dwarvenkind Reborn. Dale Reckoning, 1488.
"My Lady Jindia,"
the demon said, leaving a trail of bubbling sludge as she slid from the summoning pentagram of House Malarn, the eighth house of the drow city of Menzo Baranzon. The handmaiden Escavidney was in her natural form now, a misshapen lump of sludge that looked somewhat like a half-burned candle, but with waving tendrils sticking out like leafless branches dancing in a gale. Every word the grotesque creature spoke bubbled with muddy plopping sounds. Already battered by recent events, Matron Jindia Malarn could not hide her surprise and trepidation as a second handmaiden appeared within the summoning circle, this one in the form of a beautiful drow woman, scantily dressed and grinning wickedly. They were always grinning wickedly, Jindia knew. That was part of the reason she liked these yokel demons.
"Yukurtaria," Jindia asked, "why are you here?"
"You summoned," the demon in drow disguise replied.
"I summoned Escavidney," Matron Jindia insisted. "Why would you—"
"You have no doubt heard of Yukurtaria's misadventure,"
Escavidney answered for her sister Yoklil. These were two of the handmaidens of Loth, the demon queen of spiders, the goddess of the drow. Jindia nodded tentatively. She had heard some rumors of Yukurtaria being defeated on the surface world. But if that was true, then how was she here? And why had two answered her summons for just one, Jindia had to wonder and worry, particularly in light of her own misadventures. Matron Jindia and her house had to be wary of everything. They had lost standing, and Jindia had become a bit of a mockery, something that simmered within the prideful woman's entire body, leading her to fits of rage-filled trembling. She knew that she was clinging to a very slippery ledge here. The matrons of the eight highest-ranked houses, and only eight, sat on Menzo Baranzon's ruling council, and now, because of her own disastrous miscalculations and failure against the sinister workings of the matron mother of the city, her house had been demoted to the least of those ruling eight, with other ambitious houses right behind and looking for ways they might usurp her in this time of Malarney vulnerability. For all the matrons of Menzo Baranzon's dozens of houses, the goal was singular: to sit on the ruling council. It was a position Matron Jindia did not intend to relinquish. And now not one but two powerful demons stood before her in her summoning chambers, one of them unbidden, and she had to wonder if she would have a choice in maintaining her position.
"Pray tell, what have you heard, Matron Jindia?" Yukurtaria asked.
As her sister spoke, Escavidney waved her tentacles, black light of demonic magic flashing, and changed into drow form, sending abyssal mud flying about the chamber. Jindia spun away, thinking she had been attacked, but then wiped the dots of mud from her face and regarded the mischievous Yoklu, standing quite naked and unabashed with a hand on one hip.
"What is this about?" Jindia dared demand.
"What have you heard of my sister's troubles?" Escavidney asked again.
"Yes, I am saddened that you did not summon me directly," Yukurtaria said, moving to stand beside the other and draping her hand on Escavidney's wonderfully delicate shoulder.
"I had heard that you were defeated and so banished to the abyss for a century," Jindia replied. Yukurtaria sighed, just a hint of that gurgling mud in her exhale. Escavidney giggled.
"Defeated," she said, "pummeled, pounded into a pile of excrement by the fists of a mere human." Ycardaria sighed again and slapped her sister demon on the shoulder. No mere human, she insisted. A monk. The celebrated Grand Master of Flowers of the Monastery of the Yellow Rose in a land called Damara. Mere human? This man Cain has transcended the mortal coil that marked him once as human. He is now, oh, you know all about him, now, Escovidney teased. Because I intend to pay him back with great care and patience. This does not concern me, Matron Jindia declared, taking back control of the situation. She reminded herself repeatedly that the key to dealing with demons, even the very handmaidens of her goddess, was to maintain confidence. Why are you here? Does not concern you, Ycardaria replied with a huff. The circumstances of Drizzt-do-Urden do not concern you. The flash on Matron Jindia's eyes betrayed her calm visage at the mere mention of the heretic drow, the same one who had led the attack on her house that had killed her daughter. Jindia, too, had almost fallen to the blades of Drizzt, only to have been humbled, slapped, and thrown about by one of his allies. And this very same Ycardaria had been there, in her room, when she had been humiliated, watched, and did nothing. Why are you here? Jindia asked for the third time, her stare hateful and fixed on Ycardaria as she recalled that terrible day. Because you summoned me, Escovidney explained. The barrier between the Underdark and the Abyss has thinned, and so our Spider Queen determined that my sister could subvert the century of banishment, but only by first accompanying another handmaiden to this place. In summoning Escovidney, you freed me, Ycardaria added, and she bowed gracefully. And thus, I am in your debt. As you were in my debt when you allowed that abomination to beat me in my own chambers, Jindia said impulsively, before she could think better of it. She was referring, after all, to Ivanel, a drow woman whom many believed to be the avatar of Loth herself on the world of Toril. You are versed well enough in the ways of Loth to understand my place in that moment, was all that Ycardaria bothered to say in reply. I was merely observing, as the goddess wished, and protecting you. You stood by Ivanel, Jindia insisted. I tempered her. She is none of your concern, Escovidney interjected, ending the argument. Matron Jindia licked her suddenly dry lips. Who was this creature, Ivanel Beanri, after all? She knew Ivanel was the daughter of Gromph Beanri, the former archmage of Menzo Baranzon, and a worthless fool named Manolan Fay. And there had been great fanfare and wild rumors that Loth herself had gone to the pregnant Manolan and blessed the child. Yet Jindia didn't believe a word of it, though she could not deny the unusualness of Ivanel Beanri, named after the greatest matron mother Menzo Baranzon had ever known. This child, and she was just a child, barely 4 years old, had somehow grown into a full adult woman, and with undeniable sophistication and magical powers. Certainly, Jindia's curiosity had been piqued, no more so than her hatred for Ivanel, but she didn't dare press the issue at that time. I summoned you to speak with you about my daughter, Jindia told Escovidney. You are certain of this? Matron Mother Quenthel Beanri asked for the third time. Her brother Gromph didn't bother to answer this time, and instead just huffed indignantly. Zacnaphane d'Urden, the father of Drizzt, has been stolen from the grave and returned to life, Quenthel said, her gaze down, for she was speaking more to herself than to her brother. If it was Loth who freed Zacnaphane d'Urden from death, then why? And if not Loth, then who? She looked up at Gromph and asked, The false goddess Mialiki. Gromph could barely contain his chuckle at the way his sister had felt the need to include the word false. Mialiki was no less a deity than Loth, of course, and these little bits of servile delusion always amused Gromph, who considered himself above all the squabbling about which god was bigger than which. I have found no indication either way, he finally replied. though I really didn't look very hard.
In the end, it seemed such a minor thing.
Yet you felt the need to come to my throne room and inform me, Quenthel replied, her lips curling into a snarl.
You asked me about the goings-on on the surface. That is a going-on, fourth in a list of four, you will note, behind the construction of the host tower, the empowered teleportation gates of the dwarven cities, and the progress of the halfling village and its connection to the dwarf fortress of Gontalgrim. I would not have placed the news of Zacnafane's return last if I thought it of great importance.
Yet of the four, that piece of news is the one most important to Lolf, the matron mother scolded.
That is the one offering us clues as to Lolf's will, likely, and to what she will expect of us in this matter.
Gromp shrugged as if it hardly mattered, because to him it did not. On the surface, he was witnessing a godlike creation in the rebirth of the host tower of the Arcane, but it didn't involve the Demon Queen of Spiders or any other deity. Using the fire primordial trapped in the pit of Gontalgrim, Gromp and others were growing a living tower, a magical hollow stone tree of enormous dimensions and supernatural beauty that resonated with the eldritch powers of a beast that was as old as, and in many ways as formidable as, any god. He would lead the research and study at the host tower, expanding his mind and his power. Once he had believed that being the Archmage of Menzo Berenzon would be the pinnacle of his achievements, but now he had discovered farther horizons. What did he care, really, for a mere swordsman named Zacnafane de Werden?
It is good that Sabrax or Lauren is Archmage of Menzo Berenzon now, Quenthel was saying as all that went through his mind, apparently to sting him. But Gromp silently agreed with that assessment. The less time he spent here, the better for him. In truth, he wouldn't come here at all, except that he knew if he didn't studiously report to Matron Mother Quenthel, she'd likely cause trouble for him and his growing host tower.
The grand doors of the Baenri throne room swung open then, and from the far side of the long and narrow chamber entered three drow women, all fabulously attired in garb signaling their high stations within the city.
Well, an impatient Quenthel demanded as the trio approached.
The middle drow, who looked very much like a taller version of the matron mother, snorted and shook her head.
Nothing, she said. There is no explanation for the return of Zacnafane de Werden to be spoken by the handmaidens or any other demon we have contacted. It simply is, with no hint of why that might be.
Matron Mother Quenthel's arched eyebrow showed the perceptive Gromph that she had not missed the slight in their sister Sosumptu's chortle, or the failure to properly address her by her title. Gromph thought it so very typical of the ever-arrogant Sosumptu never to show fealty to anyone who was not Lolf. He hated her the most of all his siblings.
"Or of who did it?" the matron mother asked.
"Or that," Sosumptu replied. The only emotion behind the answers I could garner from the many demons I interrogated was that of indifference, even from the handmaidens, which means the Yoklul either were instructed to not care, or in truth simply don't.
So the resurrection of Zacnafane was not Lolf's doing, Quenthel mused.
That is not what she said, Gromp felt obliged and quite pleased to point out. The matron mother snapped a threatening glare over at him, but twitched and backed off her stern gaze as she more fully digested Sosumptu's exact wording and the implications of Gromp's accurate response.
"The Spider Queen ever gives us puzzles to solve," Quenthel said.
"Or perhaps it truly does not matter, Matron Mother," said Matron Xerath, the oldest of the trio, who sat on a comfortable pillow atop a magical floating disk. She fashioned a seated half-bow when Quenthel regarded her.
"We've other matters requiring our more immediate attention," Xerath explained.
"The name of Drizzt will soon enough be forgotten, or will be appropriately sullied by those of us who have witnessed him siding with dwarves and elves against his own people. He is no hero to Menzo Berenson, despite the best efforts of that strange young creature you named Ivanel.
Quenthel fashioned a resigned look, then glanced from Gromph to the third of the trio, Manol and Fay, as Xerath finished. These were the parents of Ivanel. Though Quenthel, and most others Gromph knew, couldn't understand why a dullard like Manol and Fay had been granted so special a child. Gromph could only nod to his powerful sister in reply, for in truth he couldn't understand it either. Minolin had been a plaything to him, nothing more. The idea that a being as extraordinary as Ivanel had come from that play had him as flabbergasted as anyone else, though of course he considered it proof of his own superiority. Drizzt was a conduit to great power, that of the hive mind of the Illithids, nothing more. Matron Mother Quenthel finished, in a tone that told all that she wanted the last word on this particularly troublesome subject. A pity it did not consume him along with the other heretic, who stood beside him and channeled the illithid power. Gromph nodded, but privately disagreed with the assessment. Xerath Zor-Lauren was known as a great friend to the males of Menzo Berenzon, as she and her house were the most liberal of all with regard to the station of the drow men. But even she did not fully appreciate the power of the idea of Drizzt, or that his name was being whispered in the taverns of the stench streets and along the outer walls of the houses where drow males paced in servitude to the female hierarchy. Or maybe she did know and understand, Gromph thought then, when Xerath flashed him a little smirk. And perhaps her claims of Drizzt being soon enough forgotten were just for show to Quenthel and particularly to Sosumtu, that zealot Lothian nightmare of a sister. "To those other and more important matters, then," said old Xerath. "House Doerden will be formally renamed to House Zor-Lauren at the next council." "It will, Matron Xerath Zor-Lauren," Matron Mother Quenthel agreed. "It is your house now, soldiered by your family, and so it should openly bear your name, a name that strikes fear in the hearts of our common enemies. And will you stay in the West Wall or go back to your former compound?" "Both, if it pleases you." "Take the old compound as your home," Quenthel decided, surprising all in attendance. "Keep House Doerden as yours for now, but it will make a fine reward to a house I choose to elevate." "And regarding elevation," said Xerath. "Matron Burton Fay will not challenge your ascent to a higher seat on the ruling council," Minolan Fay interrupted, speaking for her mother. That drew a scowl from Xerath. Gromph didn't miss that it was one mired in incredulity and disrespect. Minolan had spoken as if there was a choice in the matter. If House Fay Branch did refuse, wholly removing the nobles of that house would prove no difficult task for House Zor-Lauren. "And so I will lead the fifth house of Menzo Berenzon, where before we of Zor-Lauren were third in line," Xerath said. "Before you stupidly tried to conquer Gontalgrim and begin your own city," Gromph thought, but wasn't quite arrogant enough to say aloud. "You will ascend, I am sure," said the matron mother. "But for now, I need the stability and the alliance of the two houses above you." "Yes, you have the strength and alliance of five of the top six ruling houses," said Xerath. "But I beg you to take care, for many others have turned to Matron Mez Barris of the second house." "The city is split," the matron mother agreed. "And ripe for civil war," said Xerath. "It will not be," Sosumtu interjected. "The many demons remain, and serve Loth above all else. House Beanry remains strongly in the favor of Loth." "There will be no unity," warned Xerath. "I am possessed of the memories of the greatest matron mother Beanry, Ivanel the Eternal," Quenthel reminded her coolly. And it was no act, Gromph noted. His sister was in control here, and feeling quite confident in her decisions. "I remember the founding of this city," Quenthel went on. "Keenly so. Never has there been unity, nor will there ever be. And yes, we need to be careful in our plotting here,
but so too does Matron Mesbaris. More so, I say, because those houses immediately behind her are not insignificant. Including my own, said Xerath. And Quenthal nodded and smiled, and it seemed to Gromf almost an invitation for Xerath to go to war. Almost. Then you have heard of the call for the restoration of House Oblodra, Xerath remarked, somewhat offhandedly. But she had clearly saved the biggest revelation for last, and this one did make Quenthal squirm. After the salvation of the Hive Mind against Demogorgon, could you not anticipate such a thing? Xerath continued, obviously savoring every word. The great matron mother, Evenel Beenri, my mother, your ally, dropped House Oblodra into the Claw Rift by the power of Lolf, said Gromf, who most certainly didn't want House Oblodra restored. He was learning the Oblodran magic from the one known surviving member of that house, and he rather liked the advantage of having a skill so rare among his kin. Or have you forgotten? Surely I have not, Xerath exclaimed. But there are many who either have forgotten or never knew, or who hardly care now in this time of uncertainty and danger. For all of their heresy, House Oblodra was possessed of a strange magical power that served Menzo Barons on well in the fight with Demogorgon. It is undeniable. I have heard the whispers, Quenthal said, and in such a commanding tone that even Gromf bit back his forthcoming retort to Xerath. And they are denied. The Illithid Hive aided us in our struggle against Demogorgon, indeed. But there will be no invitation for remnants of House Oblodra to return to a place of power in Menzo Berenzon. Matron Xerath turned her wary eye upon Gromf, and he understood her suspicions here. He had been with the Illithids in their action against Demogorgon. He had felt, indeed had helped channel and add to, the power of that psionic enchantment. So had Jarlaxle's powerful psionic lieutenant, Kimoriel Oblodra, of the aforementioned, now destroyed Menzo Berenzon house. Gromf was allied with House Beenri, of course, and so was Jarlaxle, effectively giving Matron Mother Quenthal the most prominent and powerful access in all of Menzo Berenzon to the strange magic of the mind called psionics. Quenthal wasn't about to surrender that advantage. Xerath understood that, Gromf could see, and despite his affinity for Xerath, the champion of mere males, he couldn't help but be pleasantly surprised that his sister was handling this one so well. That was the moment when Gromf realized that he was still tied to his homeland, to Menzo Berenzon, and most importantly and intimately, to House Beenri. For all his protestations and complaints and near heretical histrionics, deep in his heart, Gromf remained the elder boy of House Beenri. It had not occurred to him in recent years, not until this very moment, that he cared whether House Beenri remained the first house of Menzo Berenzon. Pray go, Matron Xerath, Matron Mother Quenthal said suddenly and unexpectedly. Let us each plot the best ways to move House Sorlaren back to its rightful place, without invoking war or losing the alliance of the third or fourth houses. And of this resurrected champion, since the topic has come up? Xerath asked rather sharply. Nothing, said Quenthal. Lady Lolf has not demanded that we catch Zachnefay, and so we will give him no more attention than a minor noble in a destroyed house deserves. And the same for his son, this heretic Drizzt. When we were done with him here in the battle with Demogorgon, Evenel decided to let him go, so we too will let him go. She is gone as well, and likely near to him. If she decides to kill him in the end, so be it. If not, he is nothing to us. He was a spear, and that spear was hurled and made its kill. Matron Xerath sat there imperiously for a few heartbeats, not blinking, not letting her gaze stray at all from Matron Mother Quenthal. She was clearly, Gromf thought, sizing up the unexpectedly formidable matron mother that Quenthal had become. I think you have chosen well, matron mother, Xerath said with another half-bow. Your course cannot anger the Spider Queen. If you change your mind, or need anything from House Sorlauren, know that we will be ready to heed that call.
I would expect no less, nor would Lady Lolf.
Xerath bowed again and sent her magical disk into motion, gliding for the exit. Gromp suppressed his desire to clap for his sister, and tried to hide as well his happiness that Matron Mother Quenthel had chosen not to go to war for the sake of Drizzt or Zaknafane. Gromp didn't want a messy conflict between Gontalgrim and Menzel Berenzon. Not then. Not when the host tower was growing grand and enchanting, and there was so much for him to explore in the ways of magic and psionics. Across the city, Matron Jindy Emelarn stewed in helpless rage.
There is nothing, explained Escavidney. Your daughter is forever removed. There is no soul to resurrect.
The matron winced. She had recovered most of her priestesses, but not her only daughter, the heir to the Malarni throne. For Yajin Malarn had been killed by the same weapon that had taken Jirlis Horlbar, Jindia's mother, a cruel and vicious dagger wielded by the human friend of Drizzt Do'Urden. And Escavidney merely confirmed what was already known. A person killed by the blade of Artemis and Treri had no soul left to resurrect.
You are glad to hear this, no doubt, Jindia said to the priestess she had called to her side,
the first priestess of House Malarn, Kirnil. The accusation hung there, for Kirnil had once been the matron of House Kennefin, agreeing to serve Jindia upon the merger of their houses, but only, both knew, because she hadn't expected Jindia to survive for long.
Why would you think such a thing, matron? Kirnil said.
Play no ignorance with me, Jindia retorted. Kirnil looked to the two yokels, who laughed and nodded.
Very well, Kirnil said. You intended to elevate Yajin above me, that she would soon become first priestess, and so succeed you to the throne of House Malarn. And did this trouble you? Escavidney asked Kirnil.
The former matron laughed.
No. In the end, the choice wouldn't have been mine or Matron Jindia's. As Lolf wills, so we follow.
That was a wise answer, said the ever-burning Jindia.
Matron, I have served you well, Kirnil replied. When our houses merged, of course I wished to become Matron Malarn. But Lolf chose otherwise, and so I accept my place.
It is a place that brings great favor from the Spider Queen, Escavidney assured her, for both of you.
Such great favor that we were overrun by the heretic and his ribald friends, Jindia groused.
Such great favor that I am childless again, and after all the effort I put into grooming Yajin as a proper Malarni matron.
Everything for a reason, Escavidney said.
A curious comment for a handmaiden of the Lady of Chaos, Jindia observed.
Chaos is the reason, the handmaiden replied immediately. And now your house is weakened and you have lost ground, while Matron Mother Quenthel tightens her grip on the city.
Matron Xerath Zorlauren, Jindia spat. Of all the many drow she loathed, Xerath Zorlauren was at the top of the list. And now House Sorlauren had returned, or soon would, replacing House Do'Urden, against whom Jindia had waged war and lost.
"Are you ready to surrender?" Escavidney asked,
words that struck like lightning bolts against the two powerful priestesses standing before her, both of whom looked at her with abject shock.
"In this dark hour for House Malarn, are you ready to abandon that which brought you greatness?" Escavidney went on. You are the purest of Lolf's followers upon Toril. Does that no longer matter to you?
What are you saying? Kirnil asked.
What are you offering? Matron Jindia properly rephrased the question.
Some information has come to us, Ikardaria explained. The father of Drizzt has been stolen from his eternal rest and restored to his son's side. He, who was once raised in the slavery of Zincarla, has somehow found great reward. Many claim that it is an affront to Loth, and that blessed will be she who rectifies this abominable heresy. Jindia and Kirnal exchanged intrigued glances. Many claim, Jindia asked. It is not our place to say more, replied Ikardaria. The mysteries of the world are how the Spider Queen determines her most loyal and valuable followers. Lady Loth requires intelligence, not mere obedience, Escavidny added. Some might look at this happening as a clear sign that they must intervene, but others will perhaps accept that this is not a pressing matter. Does the Matron Mother know of this? Jindia asked. Of course, said Ikardaria. As she knows that Loth herself confronted the heretic Drizzt on the surface world, and that Loth did not destroy him. Why? The deep surprise resonated in Jindia's almost frantic question. Both handmaidens giggled. Fine. Then who returned to Drizzt his father? Mysteries, cooed Ikardaria. A web of them, Escavidny added. Kirnil moved as if to speak, but Jindia, deep in thought, waved her hand to silence the fool. A web, yes, the matron of House Malarn said. Blessed are we because Loth has given to us this great web of intrigue, that we might unravel the divine mysteries and bring to her great pleasure. Her smile widened and she nodded. The web of Drizzt, the heretic, who brings chaos, glorious chaos, simply by being, she continued. And when that chaos subsided, Matron Mother Quenthel took a strand of that web and weaved a war in the Silver Marches, and sent House Zor-Lauren to conquer the ancient ruin of Gontalgrim. Jindia looked to the Yawklos, but they remained impassive, letting the matron unwind the story herself. Those failures threatened the order of Menzo Berenzon, she reasoned. Thus did Matron Mother Quenthel take a strand of that second web and weave a third. By filling the streets of Menzo Berenzon with demons, Kirnal said, and Jindia nodded eagerly. More glorious chaos, yes, but which led to the Matron Mother tightening her grasp on the city. And brought the great Demogorgon into the gates of Menzo Berenzon, Ikardaria reminded them. And thus did Ivanel take a strand of Matron Mother Quenthel's web and weave yet another, said Jindia, her eyes glowing with excitement. To use Drizzt the Heretic and the Illithids, to strike down Demogorgon, which greatly pleased Loth, his greatest rival, of course. Oh, but the Spider Queen must have enjoyed the spectacle of her people turning the great Demogorgon into a pile of quivering sludge. Perhaps that is why she allowed Drizzt to live, Ikardaria remarked. Is this her word? The handmaiden giggled again. Were it her word, I'd not have qualified my statement. Was it a hint, then? Asked Kirnil. No, Jindia answered, and with resolve. What joy would that have brought to Loth? This heretic is not worth the breath of her single word to snuff out his life. No. She has given us a web, one with strands to pull, if only we are wise enough to see how. That is always her way, Matron Jindia, said Ikardaria. That is her beauty, added Escavidny. So, to be clear, the Spider Queen has issued no edict regarding the heretic Drizzt or his resurrected father, Jindia asked. She offers no guidance on this. What good is a web that is easy to navigate? Ikardaria purred. Jindia's chest rose with exultation and anticipation. As far as she could understand it, two handmaidens of Lady Loth, the closest and most trusted advisers of the Spider Queen, the voice of Loth to her devout priestesses, had just given her their permission to strike back at the very rogue drow who had so stabbed at the power of House Malarn and left Jyndia childless. She would find this new web of intrigue, and a strand to pull. And then she'd weave one of her own.